Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 624. This is your host, Danny. And joining me this week, the whole Gamertag Radio crew in the house. Let's go with Pete. And he's on mute.
And I'm muted. Yep.
There you go.
What's up?
What's going on, man?
Doing all right. It's another week in paradise and one of our favorite segments. It's
Fat Mail.
Are you ready for Switch?
I think so.
I hope so.
Like, I just wanted to succeed. I don't know. I'm still on the fence. Like, the kid in me wants it, but the dad, the grown-up in me, I've become my old man. Like, I don't know if I need another game console in my life. Simply because I don't, unlike Paris, who has a younger child, you know, mine's 18. I'm not going to be playing, like, Super Mario with my son on the couch. Maybe I can introduce my daughter because she is of that age. She's 13. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
All right. And also, Mr. Paris is joining us here.
Well, to answer your question, am I ready for Switch? Ask me again next week after we get this presentation. What, less than 24 hours?
Yep.
Now,
yeah,
as of this recording?
Yeah.
And even if I am ready for it, I'm pretty sure I'll be out flying my drone with my son. So that's more fun than me anyways.
Wow.
So question, Paris, are you going to be out 3 a.m. trying to get a Switch like you were for the Classic?
No. That's what I'm saying. If I have to jump through hoops and go to extreme measures to get one, I won't do it. I mean,
I think I would.
All right. So follow up question for that. What has gotten more play since Christmas, the drone or the Classic?
Drone.
Wow. So up at 3 a.m. for nothing.
Well, no, I said from the get it wasn't for me.
I'm just saying for your kid.
To be 100% honest with you, I think I played a little bit of Mario 3 on it. I checked out Zelda on it just to see what it looked like, you know, trying to hold up. And that's about it. I mean, the kids have been playing it. You know, they're playing. No. I take it back. I played all the way up to Bald Bull on Punch Out. I did that too, and that was about it. That's all I really. I told you this holiday, I tapped out on gaming. I got to restart the engine on that and get back into it. I've been doing other things.
Okay. By the way, this week we have Abby Happy from Media Molecule. She is going to be joining us later on the show. We had a great conversation about her new gig and other things too, so stay tuned. And she did mention that she missed Paris because he was in Paris at the time.
That was the funniest thing it sucks that I missed being on the interview with Abby, but it was so funny while Pete and I were in Paris and Abby and I follow each other on Instagram. I noticed that she was posting pictures and I'm looking at the pictures and I go, man, that look like Paris. That look like France. I think Pete and I were just there, you know, that kind of thing. So I hit her up. I was like, hey, are you in Europe? She's like, yep, but I'm about to leave. And I'm like, oh, man, because if I'd have known like a day or two before, we could have met up. So that sucks. She like literally left when I hit her up. So next time.
All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes. You can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@GamertagRadio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/GamertagRadio.
All right, so we have a lot of voicemails and a lot of emails. So it is time for our first fan mail episode.
Fan mail.
It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com. radio.com.
Pete, you actually did it because I could.
I did it while like you paused and then you kept speaking. And then like it was just really bad delivery.
Okay.
It's the first one, so I'm out of sync. I don't know how to do it.
All right. So you guys want to start out with a voicemail or email? Because we have a lot of voicemails and a lot of emails. What you guys think?
I think we need to address the elephant in the room, and whether it be via email or voicemail, we need to start talking about the scale bound stuff. So,
all right, so we're gonna play two voicemails that is about the same topic, scale bound. So let's play right now.
Hey, what's going on, Gamer Tag Radio? It's your boy Jacob calling from Charlotte. You know, I haven't called in a while. Been doing a little bit of lurking. You know, still listening though. Once again, I love you guys. And happy new year. Keep up the fantastic work and great coverage. Question for you guys. What are your thoughts on the cancellation of Scalebound? The big news coming out of Microsoft, you know, recently just got canceled and whatnot. I haven't actually listened to the episode you guys released today. Hopefully y'all don't go over it today on today's episode. If so, ignore this. But me personally, I really wasn't that excited for the game, mainly because of the main character, you know, the dude bro main character. Oh, cool, sweet dude. You know, it's kind of like some 90s trying too hard to be cool type thing. Just not into it. Sort of like Paris's feelings with Sunset Overdrive. That's the same way I felt about the main character from what I've seen so far in gameplay. And trailers for Scalebound. So, I mean, but other than that, you know, I do want to see more diversity out there in gaming. I want, you know, and I mean like diversity as in just different types of games out there. So it is, you know, a detriment to gaming as a whole when something like this happens. But I mean, I'm surprised, but you know, not really that hurt about it. I mean, but what are your guys' thoughts on it, though? I want to hear how you guys feel about it. And do you think that the generic main character was a factor in it, or do you think it's just some industry behind-the-scenes stuff that, you know, will come to light in the future? Thank you.
Hey, guys. This is Greg from New Orleans calling about the recent cancellation of Scalebound. I responded to Paris on Twitter about it. Basically, I mean, this game was Kamiya-san's dream. And if it wasn't working out, if it was going to be a bad game, you know, I do think it was a wise choice to cancel it. Although, you know, it's going to upset a lot of people, including myself. We don't want another, you know, and I hate to throw this game under the bus again, but we don't want another No Man's Sky situation to where the hype of a game gets bigger than what can be delivered. Now, this is just a personal opinion. I'm not a game insider or anything like that. I'm just saying what I think might have happened. But with the scale of that game, I don't think that this generation of consoles could handle it. The demos looked a little choppy here and there, and I'm guessing that with the power of the Xbox One currently, the game wasn't going to work. The game might have been able to work on the Project Scorpio coming out later on this year. And probably PC, of course. But I think it would have been bad for Microsoft to make a game that was only playable if you had Scorpio or PC, because you would leave a lot of gamers who don't want to upgrade to an Xbox One Scorpio, you know, in the dust with a game that was hyped for the last few years. Again, that's pure speculation on my part. I am just guessing like 99.9% of gamers out there today do on the internet. That's my two cents, guys. Take it easy. Love the show. And yeah, have a good one. Bye.
All right. So that was two voicemails back to back about this whole Scalebound.
We also have an email.
Let's talk about it.
Hold up. We have an
email too?
Yeah. Email from Wayne in the UK, speaking of Europe. Hi, guys. Hope you had a great Christmas and New Year. With the recent cancellation of Scalebound, what do you make of the Microsoft exclusive situation? They not long ago also canceled Fable Legends. As you know, I'm a fan of Xbox. We didn't, but now we know. and can't wait for the Scorpio. But I'm a little concerned on their exclusive lineup. We all know we'll get another Halo, Gears, and Forza, but I want to get some. I want to see some new, fresh IPs. Scalebound looked very interesting to me, and I was looking forward to it as it was something new and different, but that's no longer going to be the case. I know we still have Crackdown 3 and Sea of Thieves, but in comparison to the offerings Sony has, and with the release of Scorpio around the corner, I'm hoping Microsoft will have some new and fresh games coming for it. Love to hear your thoughts, and it's great to have you back. Wayne.
So it's been mixed. There's some people that were hype about the game, some that were like kind of like eh about the game. So here's the thing. At first I was disappointed, and the reason why I was disappointed is because I love trying out new IPs. I know that all these games are going to be, you know, the majority of them that comes out every year. Yeah, it's going to be good, you know. It's cool, but I want to play some new IPs, you know. And the thing with PlayStation, they do announce some new IPs, but the thing is, a lot of them just take a very long time to come out. Sometimes there's like no dates, and this randomly will come out like later, a couple years later and stuff. So am I concerned about their exclusive lineup? I don't think so. I think that at the end of the day, at the moment, yes, I was pissed about the game getting canceled, but now it's better for Microsoft to invest money that they had for Scalebound on something else. And you know, there's going to be some games that is going to take some longer time to develop. But if the company knows that it's not doing pretty good behind the scenes and it looks kind of choppy or crappy, why would they are going to release that to the public? The worst situation last year was about No Man's Sky. It got released, all this hype for nothing, and a lot of people that purchased the game were pretty pissed off once they got the product in their hands. You know, so I know I was having this conversation with Paris earlier today about the same topic, and I mentioned to him, like, look, the game that I remembered that years ago, back in the early days of Xbox, that was really, really pissed that got canceled was True Fantasy Online. It reminded me a lot of Phantasy Star Online, but maybe behind the scenes the game was just crappy, you know. And I think that was the right move for Microsoft to cancel that game overall, you know. So, but I want to get your guys' opinion too about this. So go for it.
Well, here's the thing, and you know, you kind of touched on some of this already. Yeah, like I'd even talked on Twitter. You know, shout out to our friend Tony because I love him to death. But we're like literally on opposite sides of the fence when it comes to this, because I'll just take his point of view. For example, he feels like Phil Spencer should not have come out and said that this was good for gamers, that they canceled Scalebound. Whereas I actually agree with Phil Spencer, because if we got to look at it this way. If the game is not meeting up to standards quality-wise, you've already invested, let's just say, 4 years into this game, development time, and here we are on what is supposed to be the release year for it, and you're looking at it, and it's nowhere close to being ready, and you're going to have to invest additional money into that development studio to continue another year, 2-3 years, to continue developing this game to, quote-unquote, get it right. You have to then start looking at your ROI, your return on investment. And maybe Microsoft said, we can't keep pumping money into the studio for an additional 2-3 years and hope it meets the quality standards that we want it to be. Or we can cut our losses right now, move on to something else. That development studio can move on to something else. And I know there's a lot of controversy in the background on Microsoft's practices with it and withholding money and doing all that. I'm staying out of that because I don't know what's true and I don't know what's false. All I know is when it comes to business, it's all about making money. And if Microsoft determined at a certain point that Scalebound was no longer be able to be a successful new IP that was going to spawn sequels and make money for the company, cut your losses now. Move on. Do something else. And to be perfectly honest with you, I was never impressed by Scalebound. Never. I never once, while we sat in that crowd at E3 over the past couple of years, looked at those demos of Scalebound and go, I want to play this. It was never something that appealed to me. I understand there's people out there that it did appeal to, and it sucks. And like Danny said, True Fantasy Online to me is like the OG. Oh my God, why did you cancel this game? It looked amazing. But obviously there was something about that game that wasn't going to translate to gamers and wasn't going to make them happy. Like we say, we look at No Man's Sky. That game should have never came out. It shouldn't. I know that might be tough love and people don't want to hear that. And I'm sure I'll get some angry emails and voicemails, but that studio tried and they failed. And now that IP is ruined because when they put it out, it was not ready. And years of development, money, time, all that was wasted. Whereas if they would have cut their losses a couple years and go, you know what, we're not getting this. It's not working. Let's move on to something else. Maybe that studio could be doing another IP right now. And we never would have had to worry about. But instead, you know, Hello Games, right? Hello Games, that's their name, right? For No Man's Sky?
Yep.
Yeah, yes. For Hello Games. They could have moved on to something else and put out a different IP. Instead, their name is now tied to this IP that failed. And I'm sure Platinum has done a bunch of amazing things, and I'm sure they'll do more amazing things in the future. But instead of them putting out Scalebound, and especially with Scorpio coming out, if Microsoft looked at that, like, this is a game that we can't have represent our launch lineup, we'd be better off this game just going away and moving on. Then it's what's best for business, right? Whether as gamers we like it or not, it's best for business. And in the end, we all benefit because instead of you dropping $60 on a game that ultimately that you would not enjoy, you can take that money and putting on something else that you would enjoy versus buying Scalebound going, my God, this game sucks. I just spent $60 on it. Damn you, Microsoft. Why did you trick me into thinking this game was going to be great? Because bottom line, that's what it would come down to. So again, I agree, Phil Spencer. I think it was the right move. Absolutely.
So at the end of the day, we need to take a look at the list of products that Platinum Games has released in the past. Mad World, Bayonetta, Vanquish, Metal Gear Rising, Revengeance, Wonderful 101, Bayonetta 2, mm-hmm. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles just this past year.
Decent.
That's a pretty solid listing of games. And I didn't go through all of them. That's, you know, maybe 50, 60% of the games that they've released since 2009. That's a pretty solid track record of games. Mm-hmm. That being said, if at this point Microsoft has the determination that a solid developer in Platinum Games can't deliver what we're expecting or what the expectation is from Microsoft, absolutely, it is their complete right to cut bait and say no thanks. I don't think, and this is my personal opinion, I'm pretty sure. From the retweets I've gotten, it appears that a couple of people mirror my thoughts, but it doesn't make sense for them to continue, like Paris saying, hemorrhage money into this title. Take the L from a marketing standpoint, because if the game does come out and it's complete trash, they're gonna suffer from the media, you know, jumping on them, asking them why they didn't, you know, why did they release this? And then gamers are going to get pissed off. Isn't that what we as gamers have been complaining about for the past four or five years now? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what we want? We want the developers to be a little bit more responsible for what they're putting out. Take more ownership of what they're putting out. Don't put it out just to complete your contract and get paid out. Take ownership into what you're putting out. And if it's not good, it's not good. I mean, it is what it is. It's what we've been wanting. We want developers to put out quality games, and that's part of the publisher's responsibility, if I'm not mistaken. If the game isn't up to snuff, keep putting it into development or cancel it. And I know that's what Tony had said on, you know, at Romydeath over on Twitter, had mentioned, just keep putting it into development. Keep putting it into development. At a point in time, you just have to say no, right? You can't just continue to shovel money into it. It's not always the resolution for things. You can't just keep throwing money at it, hoping to fix it or hoping that it comes out better.
I get you too, Pete, but here's the thing that none of us are really talking about too. Do you think that's fair for the developers, for them to go through this nonsense for years. If a game is not working, it doesn't look great, you know, it's not fair to them either, you know? So I don't know. I read somewhere, I can't remember exactly where it was, but supposedly behind the scenes, one of the reasons why they had to take like a long break, like the developers supposedly when they were working on this game, because a lot of them were like really stressed out and things just wasn't working behind the scenes, you know? So that's another thing that us gamers, we should also care about the developers, man. I think a lot of people are just thinking about the game and forget about the business, forget about the people making the game. That's it. I just want the game. And we got to learn from other things too, besides just the money side, you know?
Well, part of that I would think is just poor project management. If the expectations aren't being told to the developers properly, then they're never going to meet the expectation of the publisher or the of and in this case, it's Microsoft Studios. If maybe they don't have the right resources, maybe they were ill-equipped, maybe they didn't have enough resources or the right resources to put out the product. At the end of the day, I'm on neither person's side because I don't have enough information to adequately, you know, take a stand on this. I don't know. We don't know, you know, fully what the truth is. We hear Microsoft's side. We're not hearing much from Platinum other than, you know, they're disappointed at the way things happened. They are still, they're also working on three other IPs. One of them is Nier Automata, which I am looking forward to seeing in March. I think we remember seeing that at either Paris Game Conference or the PlayStation Experience when they did a trailer or a teaser release. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they've hung their hat on solely Scalebound. Granted, it might have been the biggest IP that they were working on, but again, maybe they didn't have the correct expectations of Microsoft, and maybe that's why they had to work excessive hours or whatever reason it was, the high levels of stress, because you'll see that in a lot of environments, not just in gaming. If you don't have the right project manager delivering those requirements, you're never going to meet the satisfaction of the customer, or in this case, Microsoft.
All right, last thing. I know one of the questions too that I mentioned from the voicemail. I think he was from New Orleans. He said, "Is it because the console couldn't handle the game?" Paris, Pete, you guys always talk about this stuff. Do you blame the hardware because of this?
This is vaporware. You can't. That's just complete speculation. No one knows. No one knows that. Okay. And to be honest with you, I doubt it.
Okay. Feel the same way, Pete?
I don't know. I mean, if they are able to put out something, I don't know. I just don't. I unfortunately, I don't think of Platinum Games as a Naughty Dog, which can take, you know, standard hardware and deliver greatness.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And from what I saw at those, you know, at what we saw at E3, et cetera, you know, the either the CGI or the gameplay video trailers that we saw at E3, I never saw it delivering Witcher 3 style environments where it would tax the hardware. So I'd probably have to agree with Paris on this one and say, no, I don't think it's a hardware thing. I think it's probably a poor project management of the whole thing, where they're not delivering, okay, they're just not able to produce the deliverables that Microsoft was requesting, and that's why they canceled.
Exactly. I think this was an ambition thing. I think this was your eyes were bigger than your stomach type scenario, where this was an ambitious project. Let's not get it twisted. Scalebound was going to be a unique IP in what they planned to do in the co-op space. So I believe what happened was Microsoft had a certain expectation and Platinum simply could not deliver it on the scale that Microsoft expected. And again, this is complete speculation. I know nothing. As last week you found out when I thought you needed a TV to CDR. So don't listen to me. But at the same time, I just think this was a thing of quality over expectation, and the quality simply was not there for what Microsoft wanted it to be, so they cut their losses. And that's how we have to look at this. It's business. It's return on investment. If Microsoft said we're going to give Platinum Games $80 million to make Scalebound, and you have 4 years to do it. Scalebound said, yep, that's all we need. 4 years are now up, or here we are 3 years into it, let's say. And Platinum's like, oh, we're not going to meet expectations and we need another $20 million to do this. That's probably what, again, I'm making an assumption. Something like that probably happened, and Microsoft, show us what you got currently, didn't like it, and made the tough decision. And in the end of the day, it's better for us that it happened now versus Duke Nukem Forever or No Man's Sky situation where you spend X amount of years developing a game, delay, 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 delay. It finally comes out. The hype has gotten out of control and the final product can't live up to it. Bottom line.
And let's just put it this way. It's not like this is going to be the end of Platinum. Also, it's not the first game that's ever been canceled midstream or this deep into the development cycle. Hell, look at what Blizzard did with Overwatch. That was actually originally an MMORPG, a la World of Warcraft or something like that. And and Blizzard took that and said, okay, this isn't going to work like this isn't going to work in the way that we originally conceived. But let's see what we can do to fix it. And maybe eventually this is something that Platinum can take and say, okay, well, we're going to take the framework of what we originally said Scalebound was going to do and change it up. And maybe they come out with a monster hit. Who knows? Let's try and stick positive in this age of negativity and see. Hopefully this is one of those experiences that Platinum takes, and you know, they take the shot on the chin and say, okay, you know, and they'll come back 2 or 3 years later and be like, look, sorry, we weren't able to deliver Scalebound, but here's another monster hit. Have a nice day. And everybody's happy.
Wow. Right now that was just three questions, two voicemails, one email. So thanks for everybody to send us these questions and stuff. So please continue sending us more questions and voicemails. So we have a sponsor for this week.
All right. So this week's episode is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country, and their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. I know we've done things similar to this in the past, and I know I've been a big fan and a big proponent of things like this. It takes the thinking out of shopping for groceries and having to sit down and figure out what you want to do for cooking. Especially in the case of like Paris and myself, who we're going to the gym and we're trying to stay and eat healthy. It gives us an opportunity to not settle on just regular foods that we would normally go into. One of the cool things about Blue Apron also is they've got these partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. And as a result, the food that we get comes from responsibly raised environments. Produce is also sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming, and 99% of the foods can be delivered to the continental U.S. So you're probably asking, how can we get this food? So it's if you come out to once you configure the meals that you want, it comes out to about $10 per person per meal. And they'll deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-proportioned ingredients to make sure that your food is delicious and cooked at home. So all you have to do is go to blueapron.com/gamertag. That's blueapron.com/gamertag and get your first three meals free with free shipping.
Free, free, free.
Free. We all love free. It's my favorite four-letter word that starts with F. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/gamertag. blueapron.com/gamertag. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're going to play another voicemail. Let's go with,
let's stay Florida. Let's stay with Florida here. Let's go with Alvi from Boca Raton.
Boca. All right, let's do this.
What's up, guys? My name is Alvi. I'm calling from Boca Raton, Florida. This is my first time calling in. I love the show. I wanted to respond to what Paris was saying about how Scorpio or Microsoft has an opportunity with Scorpio to kind of show us the next level of VR. And so I was thinking something like, you know, Oculus 2.0 or something. And then I was thinking how it's kind of, I think it might be a little bit too early for the next level, so to speak, of VR. Because I know VR is, it's gaining a lot of traction and it's pretty amazing what's come out, but it's not like it's really mainstream yet. It's not, you don't, they're not as widespread as, it's not like everyone with a console or a PC has VR. I think at some point it will get to that point, but I don't think we're there yet. So I want to know what you guys think about the fact that it might be too early to kind of show us what's next for VR, and just instead maybe Scorpio should just, you know, do the Oculus, and then that will just further facilitate the spread and the mainstream use of VR. Love the show. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, so what do you guys think about this whole VR, Scorpio, and so on? I think it's too early for VR?
For me personally, I still think VR isn't mature enough in the development and needs to bake longer. I don't know if these 5-minute cutscene game experiences that we're getting is enough for me to venture into VR. I don't know if Scorpio is going to be VR ready. It should be, considering it's going to be coming in and it's supposed to be a 4K gaming ready, not 4K stream, but 4K gaming ready. My 1080, actually 970, I think is the minimum for you to have 4K or not 4K, but to have a VR compatible.
VR.
Okay. I don't know if Oculus is the answer. I do think.
Why not? It could be.
It could be, but I think we keep forgetting that Microsoft has been developing HoloLens.
But that's not for this year, though, man. Like, Oculus is ready. They could put that, like, let's say they could put that, like, at the end of the year, make it a huge announcement. Once Scorpio comes out, people that have Oculus for the computer, for Windows, could connect that and play also on Xbox. That could work, and use the controller, too. It could work. Why not?
Could they connect it to their TV and be able to watch what they're doing?
Yeah, that too. I mean, we don't know, but that most likely yeah, that will happen.
He didn't get it at all. He didn't get it at all.
You're a punk. All right.
No, here's my thought on this. And, you know, thank you for the voicemail. Appreciate it. Like I said last week, I just feel like Microsoft sitting out this quote unquote first round of VR has bought them time to assess what they want to do. I'm going to make a crazy Miss Leo prediction.
Hold on. Let me play Miss Leo. Miss Leo right now.
Hey, darling. This is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby. And I've given them my predictions. You hear me?
All right, Paris.
Why did he could have just played it without me editing later.
He's trying to make up.
Like, literally, I was going to hear, gotcha, boy, Miss Leo.
But he's trying to make up for the fact that he didn't catch the joke.
I know. But
you guys are.
Here's the thing. I'm making a crazy prediction. I don't think VR is at launch for Project Scorpio. I think they'll talk about it at E3, but we won't see the actual VR solution for Project Scorpio until at the earliest spring 2018, maybe even holiday 2018. Because I think Microsoft is going to wait on VR 2.0. Putting out a VR solution right now, after if you just put out what was currently in the market, be it Vive, Oculus, or PlayStation VR, we already know what that is. You're not moving VR forward. You're just keeping it stagnant. We need to see the next level of VR. We need to see something new. And like Pete was saying, I'm not getting VR right now because I don't care to have 5-minute demos. I want a true gaming experience in VR or a true social experience in VR. So I think Microsoft would be better left to creating their own solution or partnering with someone that we don't even know is coming yet and waiting. So I don't think Project Scorpio will have VR in 2017. I think we'll see it in 2018.
I think spring makes more sense. So, all right, so let's go with the next email. This is from Jonathan. Hey, guys. Hope you had a great vacation. Well, thank you, Jonathan. My question is, do you guys think that PlayStation 4 Pro will get a Horizon Zero Dawn bundle?
Yes.
Or any other bundle? Dude, let me finish the freaking email, man.
Wow.
Jonathan has been holding off on getting a Pro until there's a deal for one, like the game bundle or something. He said that he checked online. There's nothing available about it, but he just wants to get, he wants us to give him our opinion about it. So, Paris, you say yes. So, why?
Well, maybe I changed my mind after you added that extra part. Why don't you ask me again?
What you think about the PlayStation 4 bundle?
Yes.
Okay. Why?
Why? You're a punk.
I think I can see that happening. Wasn't that one of the games that we noticed that was like a huge change when we first got to see it a couple years ago? And then once we got to see it last year, we noticed it looked a lot better. So what do you guys think?
No, I mean, absolutely, there's going to be a Horizon bundle. I don't see why they would. That's PlayStation's first big game for 2017, not to mention this is probably the first game that's truly going to take advantage of PlayStation 4 Pro. So absolutely, they're going to have one because you're going to have the full HDR effects. It's going to be in 4K. You know, this is the first showcase game for PlayStation 4 Pro, in my opinion. So absolutely, there'll be a bundle.
I think I see this more of a PlayStation 4 Slim bundle because I think Sony just cares about selling consoles. So why not go with the cheap one?
Did you not hear what I just said?
I heard you what you just said.
Literally, this is the first game that can take advantage of PlayStation 4, truly take advantage of PlayStation 4 Pro. So why would they go, well, just get it on the Slim and don't see any of that stuff we added and needed extra development time on. Just put it on the Slim because it's cheaper and we're selling consoles, despite the fact that we're the leader in the clubhouse when it comes to that. And we don't want to push more pros, right? I'm being a dick. I know. I'm sorry. I'm just saying
because I think or do you think it's possible for them to have two different bundles?
Yes.
Of PlayStation Slim and Pro. Okay. Oh, so we're kind of there, Paris. Because usually you always see, against me.
Going by your logic, this is your four console logic where you justified four consoles because you're like, there's the original Xbox One, there's the 1 terabyte Xbox One, the 2 terabyte Xbox One.
This is NPC.
Yeah.
NPC.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? Believe it or not, PC is the digital version. So there you go, guys.
Wow. Wow. I'm just going to let you dream.
Guys, let me dream. Yes, let me dream.
I have a dream.
Let me dream. Dream.
All right, Pete, what about you? You want to say anything about this or no? You're good.
No, I agree. I think it would be foolish for them not to take advantage of this. And I wouldn't be surprised to take it one step further and see a Death Stranding branded PlayStation 4 as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
I think it would be really
dope.
It's
not coming out this year.
I know. It's going to be the PlayStation 12 or something like that by the time that game comes out.
I think if we're talking early on, I think bundle-wise, I would venture to guess, yeah, we'll see a Horizon bundle. We'll probably see a Mass Effect bundle and potentially maybe something like For Honor, maybe, mm-hmm. You know? Because, you know, obviously, even though they're third party, they seem to have the PlayStation 4 marketing with them. But yeah, Mass Effect for sure. I think that makes a lot of sense. And obviously, with Horizon, you know, being a Sony owned title, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't.
All right. So we're going to play this next caller. Actually, he's first time calling the show. He's been emailing us in the past, but he has a question about Microsoft first party games and second party games. Let's play it right now.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. This is Kevin Pulsis from Ohio. I love everything you guys do on the podcast, so thank you for doing what you guys do. I left this short voicemail a while ago, but it got cut off, so I'll try to make this shorter. My question basically is, what do you guys think about Microsoft's first-party lineup? Their studios, like the shutdowns, the studios that got shut down, like opening up new studios using old IP from Rare that haven't been used, like Perfect Dark in a while, and just like a better use of Conquer, and just do you want to see like 343 Industries tackle on Perfect Dark since they have the Halo franchise under their belt and it's a sci-fi game? Do you want to see the Coalition do something besides Gears of War, maybe revive the Shang Heist IP that got canceled? And then, like, in terms of, like, their second-party studios, like, the exclusives, some of the questions I have is, like, I think a lot of people say Microsoft needs a Remedy game or needs an Uncharted-like game, and like a Naughty Dog studio type thing. And I would think that Remedy would have been their closest solution to an Uncharted-like experience with games like Alan Wake and Quantum Break. Unfortunately, I don't think they set off real well. And, you know, I don't think Microsoft's going to give Quantum Break another chance with that IP, that they probably won't get a sequel. But you got to remember, like, games like Uncharted 2 really hit Uncharted off. It wasn't really the first game that did it for them. And I fear that, like, sales projections got in the way of, like, for these new IPs to reach their full potential. I know games have to make money, but sometimes the companies also have to take risks. I was always wondering if they would just buy Remedy, since they've mostly been Xbox exclusive for a while, and I don't know why Microsoft has, and I know to get rid of the, you know, not force them to make certain games or certain games only for their console, but give them some more freedom, but I think they should. The other thing was some of the exclusives, like, I don't know if Microsoft owns the Recore IP or Scaledown IP. Like, once these games come out, are they exclusively Microsoft's owns the IP, or are those IPs owned by Platinum Games and Armature and stuff like that? But I just want to get your opinion on that, guys. Hopefully this voicemail will go better in playthrough since the other one was too long. But again, you guys do such good work. You guys are one of my favorite podcasts of all time. Have a nice day. Bye.
All right. Thanks for the call, man. What are our thoughts about Microsoft first party games?
Let me say this, because Phil Spencer asked the question on Twitter today and people were responding. Phil Spencer or Aaron, if you hear this, I want Banjo-Kazooie, and I don't want a Banjo-Kazooie where he's holding a water hose and running around the land. I want Banjo-Kazooie, the platformer that we had on the Nintendo 64. I want a new one. That's all. I even said this to Phoenix. Shout out to Phoenix, because I was talking to him earlier today. If they put out a Banjo-Kazooie and said it was Scorpion only, I'd get a Scorpion just to play that game. That's how dedicated I am to that.
Scorpion.
I believe when I see it. But anyways, Paris, what was the thing that Phil posted on online?
Well, no, he was asking what OG Xbox IP could they bring back now that people think would be successful. So people were just giving a lot of their opinions in various games, and I said Banjo-Kazooie.
You read minds?
Wait, I did read yours, and I don't remember. What was it?
I was like, true fantasy.
Yeah, you did. That's right. Yeah.
I don't know. But see, it has potential for 2017.
Oh, it could totally work. So. It could totally work now. I mean, the tech. Yeah. See, that's the thing. Going back to that original Scalebound thing really quick. That's the thing. True Fantasy Online was canceled because I don't think the technology was ready for that ambitious of a game. Whereas now, in 2017, you could 100% do True Fantasy Online easily. They could do that.
Okay. Pete, what about you? What are your thoughts about first-party games and second-party games?
It's strange. Microsoft. It's strange that you didn't say. Viva Pinata.
From the OG? That's not an OG.
I know, but it's. I'm surprised you didn't say something like that, because I know that was amazing. I know it was a game that you loved. Another one game I think that I would like to see come back, maybe Cameo.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, you know, very underrated, that game. I've always said that. I quite enjoyed it when I played it.
You know what? I think they should bring back MechAssault. That was a lot of fun.
I don't think they own that IP anymore.
They don't?
Sure they don't own it anymore. I'm pretty sure it got sold off to someone else.
And Crimson Skies?
God, that was a good one too. Didn't you just get a game like that coming back, though? Like, you just got that game? And what was that? There was like a platformer on the indie arcade or something like that.
I did.
Yeah, what we just this? Got this a couple. It was just this last past year. It was some Crimson Dragon. Was it Crimson Dragoon?
Oh, no. The Paris. Paris. Pete, this is a totally different.
Get the
totally
names right. Game. Get the names right, damn it.
Totally different games. Look it up, man. All right, so we have one more question. One more voicemail. This is about Call of Duty. So let's play right now.
Hey, this is David from Baltimore. I hope you guys have a great New Year and holiday. But I'd like to ask a question for Paris about Call of Duty taking a year off or two. Well, here's just one thing. You know that the Call of Duty has the exclusive deal with Sony with their downloadable content, and they also have the Call of Duty World Championship game, which is their annual tournament and stuff. So if they decide to take a year off or two, will that affect the Sony deal and the Call of Duty Championship thing? Let me know about it. And hope you guys have a great new year and a great start to 2017. Thanks, and keep up the good work.
All right, so if Activision take a break, a year off, maybe 2 years, of Call of Duty, is that going to hurt Sony? I don't think so. Sony's good.
Well,
I think they're doing
well.
Really good.
Let's be upfront about this. Activision ain't taking nothing off for Call of Duty. So
as long as there's fools buying games, they're not taking anything off.
That's first and foremost. They're not going to take a break. But just for speculation, if they were to take a break, Sony just has a marketing deal with them. That's all it is. They just go get a marketing deal with someone else. If Call of Duty decided to take a break, I don't think it would be that big of an issue, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they could do that with Destiny again, right? With Destiny 2 or...
Oh, hey, I would be shocked if Sony let go of that Destiny IP as far as being the marketing for that. I would bet anything you want that when Destiny 2 is unveiled, it's going to be unveiled with a Sony logo on it.
Huh. But at the end of the day, Paris is all about the money, man. Because look at Call of Duty. It wasn't known as a Xbox exclusive first DLC type thing, the marketing deal. For years, no one was expecting for Activision to switch to Sony. So it could happen. Why not?
I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I'm just saying I'm pretty sure whatever war chest Sony has for these marketing deals, they're going to keep throwing money at it to keep it. I don't see, because it sounds like Microsoft let the Call of Duty thing go. It wasn't that Sony took it. It sounds like Microsoft let it go. So in that sense, if Sony decided to let it go, of course, but I don't think Sony's going to let it go.
All right, so we're going to play one more voicemail. Let's play right now.
What's going on, GTR? This is Eustace from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hope you guys had a good holiday break. Got a chance to recharge your batteries before starting off 2017. Looks like we're in the year of the Scorpio, fellas, and I just wanted to get you guys' opinions on a couple things regarding that system. A couple weeks ago on Twitter, Paris said something to the effect of that the Scorpio needed to be 4K 60, and I believe high settings, or what was the point? I apologize if I don't have that completely accurate, but I wanted to get your opinions on whether it could actually hit those numbers. Personally, I don't believe it can. I think it'll be along the lines of 4K Ultra, maybe 30 frames a second, or 4K High 30 frames a second, but I could be wrong. I currently have a 1070, and I can hit 4K pretty much close to 60 in a lot of stuff that I play with some small graphical tweaks or running games on the high preset. So I could be wrong. But my other question is, if it does hit it, how long do you think it can sustain that? I'm looking at games like Deus Ex on PC right now, and I don't think that game can do 4K Ultra 60 frames a second right now with a 1080. So I'm wondering how long you think the Xbox One Scorpio, or whatever they're going to call it, is going to be able to hit those numbers in 2, 3, 4 years. That's pretty much all I got. Once again, Happy New Year's. Take it easy.
So is it possible for this console to hit 4K fully, all the way 4K?
Yeah, here. Okay. Here's to clarify, and thank you for this voicemail. I'm actually glad he sent that so I can kind of clarify why I backed off a little bit onto $399 for Project Scorpio. I think, because I kept saying, what's the point? If you can't do native 4K 60 Ultra as that being being the difference between that and PlayStation 4 Pro, then the only other thing you can do is drop the price. Because I tend to think, like he's saying, it's most likely going to be 4K 30 at high to ultra settings, but their thing is going to be that it's native. Now, some of the smaller indie games obviously will be able to hit 4K 60, no problem. But the majority of your AAA games, like a, let's say when Halo 6 comes out or Gears 5, there'll be 4K ultra 30 frames per second on Project Scorpio. Because again, if you're going to build this beast that can do 4K 60 ultra consistently, I mean, you're talking a GPU, a single GPU that's, we're talking like something that ain't even on the market right now. Because even a Titan X isn't even doing that right now. You know what I mean? Consistently. So then you'd have to jack the price up if that's what you're going, if that's what they're going to do. So I think kind of like you're saying, let me dream all that stuff. It's not going to be able to do the 4K 60. So $399, in my opinion, is more realistic when it comes to Project Scorpio.
What about the PlayStation 4 Pro? What's that technically like? Is it, I know it's not full 4K.
It's not doing native 4K. They're doing basically checkerboard rendering. Now, some of the smaller games, again, can do native 4K on a PlayStation 4 Pro. But let's just say Titanfall 2, for example. Titanfall 2 doesn't do native 4K. But I can play Titanfall 2 in 4K on a PlayStation 4 Pro. They're just doing some tricks under the hood with the rendering to get it at 4K. So it's not real 4K. It's like 1440p and it's being up-res to 4K. That's the difference. But what I see on my screen is at 4K. And that's what Sony's doing with PlayStation 4 Pro. And again, that's where I come back to the average consumer. If the average consumer picks up a PlayStation 4 Pro for $350 and what they see on their screen is 4K and they got to go get a Scorpion for $500 and what they see is 4K and you can't tell the difference, then why am I spending the extra money? You see what I'm saying? So yeah. That's where my, again, I'm telling you, the biggest challenge that Microsoft is going to have is the messaging of Project Scorpio at E3. They need to show why this thing is a beast and they need to have it priced accordingly so that people can be excited about it and are willing to spend their money for it. So, and when I say they got to show the difference, it's very hard to do that on television. You know what I mean? Unless you're on a 4K screen and you can actually show it in 4K. Like when we're at E3, we'll be able to see most likely the difference, right? But try and tell that to someone watching it on Twitch. That's going to be their challenge. So they're going to have their messaging on point. And when I say on point, everyone from Phil Spencer on stage, Aaron Greenberg, Albert Pinello, all the way down to the dude that's standing on the show floor. That messaging has to be on point for everybody on that Xbox team.
And the most important thing too, man, games. Show us the difference between having a regular console and a Scorpion.
Scorpion.
Show us the difference, I think. Super important. So, but here's the thing too. I know there's probably going to be situations where, let's say you do have, the new Xbox, the Xbox One S, let's say there's a feature that you could stream in 4K, or that could work too, Paris. They'll show like different videos in 4K that you could stream.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. A very smart thing. And we saw the groundwork for this, ironically enough, for the Game Awards this year. I watched the Game Awards on YouTube in 4K. So
How was that? Was a huge difference?
For the most part, it worked very well. Yeah, definitely. I mean, seeing it in 4K was very crisp, picture. It looked good. But when Phil is on stage at E3, on YouTube and on Xbox Live, show it in 4K because all your games are going to be 4K, right? So show it in 4K. All the games should stream in 4K. So people at least get an idea for the fidelity and the quality that you're trying to go for.
Yeah, that was the issue, that it was hard for Sony to send that message to the gamers. Look, 4K, like it was really, really hard for someone that doesn't have 4K. You know,
right?
So at least now that Microsoft has the Xbox One S that has the features of 4K streaming, so at least they could take advantage of that.
And here's the other,
show that to the consumers.
Agreed. And here's the other thing they have to do when it gets time for launch, when it's at GameStop and Best Buy and all these places, you need to have 4K monitors on display showing these games in the stores so people can see the difference with their own eyes. You know what I mean? I mean, look, the hardcore people like us, we're getting it. Yeah, we're going to get it. They ain't got to sell us. They got to sell Roxanne. Because Roxanne's like, what the hell am I spending $3.99 on this cocaine thing? I don't know what this is. You know?
Yeah, yep. Yep.
That's who they got to convince. True.
Pete, any opinion about this, Pete, before we go to the interview?
No, I think you guys got to, I think you guys got it pretty much nailed down. So there's no need for me to chime in.
All right, well, 43 to you.
Thanks,
all right, man. So let's play this interview, and we'll be right back after this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so I'm here back, and I have a good friend here that I met her a couple years ago during a the Timefall event. That was years ago.
Her name is
Abby Happy. Abby, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's really nice to talk to you. I haven't seen you since E3, and I've been taking time off from the games industry since then. So this is great.
You've been traveling a lot, I see, which is cool.
I did. I haven't like this. I'm starting work again shortly, but I haven't worked in 8 months. I spent a month living in national parks in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I've just been like traveling all over and seeing friends and family and, you know, looking for jobs. Obviously, that was part of that.
So, I mean, what's new with you now? Because, you know, a lot of people, they known you, you know, before the whole gaming industry stuff, you were more involved with like the media and everything. And then you started working with Respawn. And now what is it you're doing now?
Well, I'm really excited that, as of next week, I'm going to be starting as a communications manager at Media Molecule, and I'm going to be working on Dreams there. And, you know, it's their game that's announced, but, you know, there's still a lot of it to sort of reveal to the world. And they're an amazing team that I've loved, you know, since I started working in the games industry, since Little Big Planet. So it's sort of incredibly exciting for me. Not sort of. It is incredibly exciting for me.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I mean, how was the reaction once you got the news that was official? Like, all right, you're in. You're in part of the team now.
I was over the moon. I mean, I flew out there. I got to meet, you know, tons of people in the studio, mm-hmm. and talk to them and spend a little time, you know, not as much as I'd like, but I'm going to take care of that soon and go out and spend a significant period of time out there, in lovely February, which I've been told is just warm and amazing and not cold and rainy at all. Mm-hmm. And get to know everyone and get to know more about the game and, figure it all out. So it's super exciting. When I was over there too, Paris was in Paris when I was in Paris.
Yes.
So that was totally random.
Very random.
I was really enjoying his like Instagram of like things that he wanted to eat. And then I was like, what? We're both in the same place for completely different things.
See, next time we'll,
I know, next
meet
time.
Up. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. No, next time I'm having him take me on a foodie tour of the city.
I mean, but, it's a big change though, compared to where you used to work before, you know, first person shooters. And now this is more of like a casual for everyone. Like, I like those type of games too, because, you know, you could create like your own levels and everything. That was one of the things I love about Little Big Planet, you know.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like, very few people know this, but I spend a fair amount of time at home, like crafting things and making stuff just, you know, just for fun. And so it is a really big departure, and it's definitely not within the FPS genre. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like it hits the creativity bug in me. And even though I think their games reach a broader audience, I don't know if I would call it casual, because, you know, some of the things that people build within the worlds that they create are just utterly amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the amazing thing about, you know, Dreams too, is regardless of like, if you like creating art or music, or if you want to try to make a full game, or if, you know, they're like, all of those possibilities lie within there. I mean, I'll probably just make a bunch of cats, but they'll be really awesome cats.
Yeah.
And so it's always fun to play through, you know, what they create. But their community is so creative. And I think when you work in communications and community, it's always really about what the community gives back and creates. And like, mm-hmm. that's so exciting to be a part of. So that's one of the things I'm just can't wait for.
What is it that you love about being a community manager or whatever you're doing now? Like, what is it that you love about that?
I think that's part of it. I mean, it's really a lot of hard work making games. It doesn't, it's not easy. You know, no matter what your role is, it's just so many things that have to come together, and it's stressful and it's long hours sometimes. But being able to see what the community gives back, it's really incredible. I mean, it makes it all worthwhile. Like, right? That's why you do things. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you must love interacting with fans of Gamertag Radio, and it feels incredible. And so it's really awesome to, you know, help be that liaison of like, mm-hmm. hey, you guys made this thing, and here's what everybody in your community made for you. It's like a really cool bridge, and also bringing that people and, you know, bringing that to people and bringing the joy that games brings to, you know, to a community. It's fun to be that person in between. Mm-hmm.
I just love the whole engagement. Like when I see, you know, a lot of the community managers like engaging a lot with like the fans and stuff. I think that's pretty cool because they're the ones going to be spreading the word about your game, about your content, about everything, you know? So it's good to see that you still, you're still that way, you know, because a lot of people that I've gotten, you know, higher positions, they eventually like forget and they won't even bother to like chat with the fans and stuff, you know, like at least say hi or something, you know. So
yeah totally. And I mean, I think that like you should want to do that. I think that that's, you know, part of the fun of it. It gets, I mean, don't get me wrong, it gets totally overwhelming sometimes.
Oh yes.
You know, it really does.
Yeah.
But it's really kind of magical what people bring back to you, you know, on the community side. Mm-hmm. And I think I will always love that. I think you have to, like, if you're a fan of games, and meaning when you started, I mean, I've been playing games since I was a kid. So it's like, I've had a lot of that enthusiasm for other people's projects. You know, and it's so great when they have that about something you're working on. I made a Sackboy for a friend of mine years ago. I mean, like not maybe a decade, but probably about 7 or 8 years ago. And so like I was that fan and that person in the community, and now I'm working for that company. So it's weird the way things work.
Yeah. Everything happens for a reason, right? That's kind of crazy. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, what, how is that going to work? Because, you know, you stay in, is it in like in California stuff? And
yeah,
and
I live in Los Angeles.
And the studio is in the UK, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to be traveling out there a bunch. And, mm-hmm. you know, and we also go to, you know, we'll be at events all over the world. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'll be with the team at a lot of those. But I'm going to go out and I'm going to spend a bunch of time in England. I'm getting ready to do that. You can't see this obviously because we're just, it's just audio, but I have like my winter coat and then my rain things. I've been like systematically pulling everything out of my wardrobe that is not for LA climate, mm-hmm. To put in a bag and take to England.
So, I mean, I know you went to the studio a couple of weeks ago. So how was it, you know, seeing this game, you know, and playing and everything, like how was the vibe? I mean, what was it? The first thing that you even created anyways, once you try it out?
Well, what I love about the studio is that they have a really amazing creative vibe. Just give me an amazing demo. And I've watched so many videos of people creating things within Dreams. And I'm not there yet. Like, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'll get there.
Yeah.
But it's like it's just seeing the vibe within the studio, yeah. and seeing the kind of stuff that, like, you know, they've created internally, and everything that I think that the game will be able to do is super inspiring. Like, I came away feeling really inspired. So I think exactly what you want to feel when you're starting a new job.
I'm one of those, like, I can't create. I'm more of like, let's see what the community makes. I want to discover a lot of cool, unique games and stuff. And let me just try it out and download it. I was doing that a lot with Little Big Planet. Cause I don't have the patience to actually sit there and create something. I'm more of like, let me download your content, you know? So.
Right. And the nice thing is that if you're that person, that exists for you in Dreams as well. Like, you're going to be able to see so much content that other people create and amazing things that other people make. One of the coolest things that happened when I was at the studio, mm-hmm. Was they, had an artist who played the kora, which is an African instrument. And he just played like a little mini show for everybody there. And it was just, it was beautiful. And it was so cool to just, you know, like have this little moment of like, hey, let's all enjoy this, you know, beautiful music. And, it was just so neat. It was very Media Molecule. That's kind of the vibe I get from the studio. It's just very creative, very sort of inspiring. So That's what makes me like incredibly excited for my few days of work, which I have not started yet.
Quick question. Now, I know there's like people out there that they want to get involved with the gaming industry. You know, sometimes they find it really, really difficult to step in and make the moves. Like for someone that is trying to be part of this industry, like what is it that you think they should do first? Let's say they're in school, they're doing their thing, but now what is the next step?
Well, I mean, I think regardless of what you want to do in the industry, the first step is just start doing that thing. And I know that sounds really trite, but it's not. There are so many tools out there right now, regardless of what you want to do, whether you want to be a designer, you want to be an artist, designer. Yeah, like there's so many ways to get involved, to work on your own projects. You know, a lot of companies, you know, want to make sure that you're working on your own thing, you know, as well as, you know, getting the education and do like they see what you do. And so to have something to show them is really the first step. Networking is an incredibly big part of this industry. And, you know, I've had plenty of people reach out to me to set up community events that are now, you know, the people that I talk to and say like, hey, you know, like let me get a job. It sounds like almost obvious, but it's start doing it. You know, start doing things that you can show people, passion is one thing, but, you know, just getting your hands dirty and starting to do whatever you can, is really the best way to show people that you have the motivation, you have the drive, and you have the skill to do it.
Yeah. And this industry is very small. So like, you know, us, we got to meet in person, we sat down in Paris and everything. And just the conversation with the conversation alone, you were like, all right, I'm going to remember these guys. I'm not going to forget them at all. You know, and there was a lot of people at that event that you met, you know, but I think the thing that stood out with us was because we were just being us and we just got like some great vibes. Like when we were having the conversation, and everything, you know, for the show, when we were recording and stuff. So that's what I think people need to do, man. Just go out there and meet people. Attend events whenever you get the chance, and I think that's going to help you out to succeed, and maybe at the end of the day you probably get a job in the industry, you know. So
it's true, but not everybody has that opportunity. And I mean, it's great if you do, if you can attend GDC, if you can, I mean, even more consumer oriented shows are worth going to. You know, companies send employees there to demo games, and you know, even if you're not directly networking with them, asking questions, learning is a really important part of the whole process. And yes, starting to make those connections to people within the gaming industry. So, I mean, if you have those opportunities, you should absolutely take them. They're really important. And in the meantime, do your own thing, you know, make your own games. If you have friends that will collaborate with you on that kind of stuff, do it. It's great. And it's an awesome way to just show people, you know, and start creating a portfolio.
Definitely. So, Abby, if you want to promote like your Twitter account or anything you would like to promote here, so if the listeners would like to follow you for like future updates and stuff, and they could also check out your pictures when you're traveling too.
Well, yeah. So I mean, my Instagram, which is Rogue State, like Rogue One, but no one, just State, STATE. It's just, I mean, like it's just, I just travel and take pictures of things. It's you know. I'm doing a horrible sell of it, by the way. And my Twitter is Abby Heppy. It's just my name. So the funny thing is like for someone who does, you know, social media as a part of my job for a living, mm-hmm. I'm like tremendously bad at updating my own. I usually just post funny things or, I don't know. I think the most popular thing I ever posted on there, was a cat who said, yes.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, so I was just retweeting it. It was during the World Series when there was the rain delay, and I was like, "You should all just watch this right now." It's probably the most popular thing I've ever posted on Instagram, or not Instagram, Twitter.
Twitter. That's funny. That's funny. But Abby, next time, I'm gonna get the whole crew. You know, last minute, Paris couldn't make it, but he was dying to be here too, and also our old co-host Pete. He wanted to join the conversation, but last minute they couldn't join. But next,
that's okay. You next have to say hi to them for me.
Yeah.
And next time, hopefully, I'll see Paris in Paris.
Oh, yes. Paris in Paris. For sure. All right, Abby. But thanks a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. It was great talking to you.
Same here.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio. Shout out to Abby. That was a lot of fun. And Paris, in the future, she said that she wants to hang out with us, Pete, at the studio. She's down for that, man. And probably she will bring the whole crew over there, too, man. So we'll see. Hopefully we can make that happen in the future, man.
Breaking news. This is a sad day since I live here.
What happened?
Sources. The Chargers plan to announce move from San Diego to Los Angeles. Damn.
Oh.
I was hoping they were going to figure something out. Sucks.
It's official.
Hey, I'm a Buccaneers fan, but, you know, I live here.
That's home team.
And, hey, you know, it sucks that the city of San Diego is losing the Chargers. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah.
And you used to go there all the time, too, when like the Bucs.
I mean, I was just there a couple months ago with my son. We went to the Bucs-Chargers game, and it was sad in a way because it ain't like the Buccaneers travel well, but we own that stadium because Charger fans gave up. Like one of my really good friends, season ticket holder, he tapped out. He's like, I'm done. He'd been a Charger fan his entire life. And he's like, I'm done. He's like, they're leaving. I'm not going to follow them to LA. I'm not going to be a fan of them anymore. He goes, I just don't have a team anymore. I'm done. It sucks.
Wow. But now with this news, a lot of people are probably going to be pissed.
No, they knew. My point is, we've known it.
A lot of people are going to be probably angry about this move.
But we've known it's coming. It was inevitable. Just sucks that, yeah, this is it.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes. And yes, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And until next time, we'll see you Monday, where we're going to be talking about the Nintendo Switch. Is it going to be big? Is it going to be a flop? We're going to see, man. We'll see. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.